Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Teach Better Today morning show, where the Teach Better team gets to join you live every single morning, Monday through Friday. And this is our last show of 2023. We'll be back, obviously, in January. So don't you worry. You don't have to miss us too much. But we are going to kind of wrap up our year together in this last morning show. If you haven't caught every other Teach Better Today morning show that we have had Monday through Friday starting back in August, don't worry, you can head over to our YouTube page or listen over on Teach Better Talk podcast and totally binge the episodes that you have not gotten to see or listen to yet. But we are excited to welcome in the new year in our next episode as we are in 2024, the next time we'll all be together for the show. Crazy. Jeff Gargis is in the house and we'll be right back. Hey everyone, good morning. It is Friday, December 22nd, in our last 2023 show of Teach Better Today. Jeff, how are you feeling about wrapping up the year?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. It's always exciting going into a new year and, you know, this time of year reflecting back on the year and all the craziness of the year, the good, the bad, and everything in between. So I'm excited to get into 24. I think I am.
I am as well. I think we're going to have a wonderful year, especially for education. I just have a good feeling about this one. But let's not focus on the new year yet. We are still in our last show celebrating 2023.
Present time.
So, Jeff, I want to do the show a little bit differently because I searched interesting questions to consider. Some are education related and some are not. I think we should go through these and have some discussion. If any of you are headed into school today, it's probably your last school day before winter break. If you are not already on break, these could be interesting questions to maybe ask your colleagues or your students, depending on what will spark your interest.
So these are suitable for work.
Well, I'm not counting that. We can make them suitable for work. There's 1 through 10. Do we go in order or do we randomly select numbers?
I have no idea what they are, where they're from. So let's go in order.
Okay.
Because then we don't have to remember like what ones we've done and stuff. We can just go in order.
I don't want to think too hard on the show. I mean, it's
yeah, we don't want to. That's like another thing that's, I don't have that power.
Right. Okay. Now. Number one, if you could add any subject or topic to a curriculum, what would it be and why?
If I could add any subject to a curriculum.
Yeah.
Like, so like the K-12 curriculum?
Yeah, let's go K-12 and let's say like this might exist, but you want it to exist like for sure. So you might find a school that has this class, but.
Yeah, I think I would, for me, it would be probably something around like personal finances.
Oh, man, that like gross.
Like that would, out. But I think that's a broad thing, but would cover things like. At least the basics of introduction into investing and retirement plans, and then also into like taxes and stuff. And because I just think that it's crazy that we don't cover that.
Well, and some schools cover it, just not in depth.
Or it gets intertwined in other things, but there's not like, I don't feel like there's enough focus on it, but.
Yeah. I think the most stressful thing that I complain to Jeff about is me not even wanting to discuss taxes because just simply knowing the conversation's coming grosses me out enough that I can't even get there.
Well, and I mean, I can't tell you how many people I know that, you know, I'm 40, what am I? 41, whatever. How many people that are my age or even older that like, don't actually understand like why they get a refund back or not and where the money goes or like, and that's just crazy to me, like that you don't understand, like, I don't know. It's just, of course, our entire tax system is crazy, but yeah. But
you're our finance guy on the team, so you for sure understand it. I will admit that I'm one of those people that I don't understand.
Well, I don't know. I just think there's a lot of people who are probably leaving a lot of money on the table, or people that are start, you know, that it's when they turn 40, they realize like, oh, I should save for retirement, like, and the stuff like that. Like, it's just, you know, I just think that's something that's, that should be embedded in the curriculum a little bit, more of a focus. So
makes
that's
sense.
I think that's what I would add. What would you add?
Well, I could totally agree, because that's a severe.
I was between that and like entrepreneurship, like just not necessarily like to try and force them into, but just to show that there's an that's a potential route and stuff. But I think that's becoming more and more prevalent in the world.
Yeah, I feel like that's a fad right now. Yeah. I would definitely go personal finances, taxes. That's something that, yeah, that's tricky for me. I will say, Jeff, I literally had a dream last night. I've been having I think I mentioned this earlier on the show, like in August, I was having back to school nightmares. I'm having,
oh, yeah, them, yeah, you did. Yeah.
I'm having them again. Like the last 5 days I've had
school nightmares, or like what do you,
oh my God, this is like
what happens in this nightmare?
Totally off topic. Okay. So essentially in my nightmare, I vividly remember this and it was very stressful. I woke up in a sweat. Okay. So, jeez. In the nightmare, I was like, I would like to make more money. So in addition to working for Teach Better, I'm also going to then go get a teaching job and hope that Jeff doesn't notice. Essentially was how it started. So I was like,
probably wouldn't.
I'll double my income, right? So sure. I went back to the school that I like used to teach at. And when I was applying for the job, they told me I wasn't qualified for the job. And because I needed to redo eighth grade.
Like you had to go back to school. Like, oh, you mean like back to school, like as a student, you had to go back to school. You're like Billy Madison it.
But I was a teacher in the building like previously. And they were like, you're not qualified because you need
to. You have to go finish your eighth grade year.
So I show up to school ready for like to take eighth grade, and all my former students are eighth graders in my dream. So I'm like saying hi to like all these kids that like
I taught with them.
I taught them in sixth grade, but now I have to do eighth grade as a student alongside them. And I went to the principal and I was like, this can't be right. Like, how am I registered as a student? I'm qualified. I can be a teacher. And they were all in the office laughing at me. They said it was like a paperwork error, so we had to figure out how to reschedule me. Wait, so as that's happening, the bell rings, so I missed first period of my first day working as a teacher, and I wasn't able to go up and like tell my teams that I was sorry that I couldn't run first period because I had to stay in the office to figure out this like error. It was so stressful. And then I went back up to my classroom, which now I've already missed first and second period of the first day of school, which you know is chaos. And the whole upstairs was different. There was no walls. It was all like open space, like kind of grouping of pods. And nobody wanted to teach next to me because I'm so loud. And there was no walls. It was a really strong.
That's a weird dream. Very detailed.
I literally am like, I'm sweating talking about it right now. So
crazy. What? I was going to share my reoccurring dream that I have about being in school, but I'm not even going to try and compare to that. I'm not even going to go there. We'll talk about that some other time, I guess.
I'm so sorry to everybody that's like in my therapy session right now, but this was a really scary dream. Like I woke up confused and I had stressed a lot of people out.
How did we get here?
Okay. I was reading something.
Like, are we still number one right now?
I'm so sorry, but like, this is traumatic. I feel like I need,
I'm going to have to watch the replay to figure out like, how did we end up there?
I just want everyone to know that tonight I will be scared to go to bed. Okay.
Ray's pounding Red Bulls all night long just to stay up.
Seriously. All right. Number two. And I didn't even take like a melatonin or anything to go to bed. So like, this was just
no reason for,
this was just my brain wanting to go this way. That's a problem. If anybody has any solutions for my traumatic dreams,
but he has a straitjacket.
Number two. How do you incorporate technology into teaching effectively? What would be your thoughts on this, Jeff?
Go ahead, incorporate it.
Yeah, I think it's all about like incorporating it with intention. Over the last few years that educators just need to make sure that if they're incorporating a technology piece, it's enhancing some element of the learning. Like it's either making it more efficient, more effective, mm-hmm. more engaging, like make sure the technology has a purpose.
Yeah. And then obviously for like, you know, gaming with your students, Fortnite and stuff like that, I think is important. Building relationships.
Wait, that actually goes into number three, because I was going to ask you if gaming was going to come up in number three. It says, what's an innovative project or idea that a teacher should consider? And we've got a lot of educators recently wanting to incorporate gaming with the grid method. So you wanting them to incorporate gaming makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, like any gamification, I mean, that data is miles high on not just students, but literally adults and everything too. So if you can find a way to incorporate that in, that's powerful.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Number four, what's a skill or concept you believe is critical for students in the 21st century?
Understanding how to identify misinformation and disinformation, identify proper and quality resources. You know, we have such a unending, unlimited amount of information. And it's so easy to put stuff out there that like being able to go and I'm trying to think of the word that I'm trying to find here, but like to corroborate. Wow, I can't say that word. Like what you're looking at and reading and digging into and going and figure it out, like what you're reading, if it actually is a valid source, if it's been verified by other sources and things of that nature, rather than just taking taking it at face value because you Googled it and it came up.
Whoa.
I think one of the most important skills any person in the world right now can develop is something that I've been doing for the last probably at least five years or so, probably longer than that. And that is, if I see a headline or a meme or a quote or anything that I agree with, I spend as much time as I can trying to disprove it. And if I find one that I disagree with, I try to prove it. And it is like, it's crazy. Cause like it makes you just self-conscious of like your internal biases, which makes it really easy to believe something cause it came through and looks reputable, or because the headline said what you were, you know, whatever, but wasn't like, was just twisted. Cause that's what they're trying to do. Right. So spending the time to go do it, it's actually pretty easy usually to like go debunk and be like, oh, okay, no, that wasn't true. I just don't like that celebrity. That's why I believe that right away. Or I believe that news article because I have some sort of emotion attachment to whatever was going on. And of course I'm going to believe it, but like, actually it's not actually quite what happened. It's not quite, you know, whatever, like that's super, for me has been a huge practice that I really wish more of my friends and family who I'm connected with on Facebook would use. And that's all I'm going to say about it though.
Yeah. I like that being almost an assignment for students is, could you model and then let them go explore? Could you model putting up a headline and going through like either finding it to be false or finding it to be true, like the debunking it? I think that's like kind of a cool activity to let students do at any age.
Yeah. And as they get a little bit older, like let them go find, like, here's the article that I came across, and here's the four ways in which I verified that article from other sources or whatever, or this is how I disproved it or whatever.
Yeah, I like that.
That is crucial for people to understand.
Love it. I couldn't agree more. Number five, if you could invite anyone to speak to a classroom of students, who would it be and why?
If I could invite anyone? Wow, that's a...
I feel like I don't have an answer.
I don't know if I know.
I don't have an answer, but right now I'm kind of on a kick where I really want more people to take on a responsibility of being a little more worldly, like understanding other cultures, getting to know people that are different from them. So I don't know that this would be like the best answer, but my answer right now would be like, I would love to find a group of people that are so different from whatever students I'm teaching, and have them be exposed to the fact that different can still have so many similarities and beautiful components. I guess that would be my
I'd actually really love to see like a panel of people from multiple different either locations, countries, cultures, whatever, that typically disagree.
Yes.
And put them in front of the students to have a conversation around
anything.
All that. Like,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a better answer than that. I think that's a good answer.
I mean, of course, there's so many cool like celebrities, professional, you know.
Yeah, one of the ones that popped in my head is I think most people who know me know that like I'm a big fan of Gary Vaynerchuk, and one of the misconceptions about him is that he hated school and so he talks down about school. But when you dig into his stuff, he actually really respects it. And so he sees the changes that need to be made. And I'd love to have him go because he's someone that's usually connected to like just go be an entrepreneur and stuff. But I actually would love him coming to classrooms, go, no, like do good here, like do well in school. This is your actual plan. And if you go explore other stuff, great. But this is going to make it so much easier, you know. And I think that's important to remind them of that because we talked. I don't know if that was today that we talked that it was like entrepreneurship is kind of a fad, right? And it's cool right now, and it's not going to be, and not everyone can do it because then there would be no anyone else. And I just think that was where I was going to go, but your answer's better. I like you. I'm going to take your answer.
No, I don't know. I think our comments are going to have something else. Like I'm sure people are going to be like, oh, I would love to see like President Barack Obama or, you know,
Jack Black.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
Jack Black, of course. He could
run a school of rock right in front of my classroom. That'd be awesome.
There's a lot of good answers for this one. I just like, I think for me, I'm very, very overly sensitive to what's going on in the Middle East. And I think that there's so many biases that we have for people that are different that when you talk to them, like people are so similar and you can get to know so much by meeting other people in different cultures and loving kind of like differences being beautiful. So, okay, let's look at the next one. Number six, how do you encourage creativity and critical thinking?
Encourage creativity and critical thinking? I think by like loosening the reins a little bit.
Ooh, that was literally what I was going to say. I was like providing people the freedom to explore.
Yeah. Now I think within that there's, you know, and I think we talked about this before in other contexts of like sometimes constraints actually create creativity, but like, so not necessarily that, but I mean in general, like allowing kids to explore more and to possibly be more, more a part of some of the creative process that you have as an educator building for them and making changes in your classroom and which, you know, giving them a voice. And I think just giving them the opportunity to go like and use the new resources and take unique routes to get to understand and or to present something. And I think that's a big piece because
I've never been more aware in the concept of drafting until I got into this role where I am constantly kind of in a state of creating a draft of something because everything with my job, at least on the team, has to go through so many different people's eyes, so many different people's perspectives. I usually am a part of drafting maybe the initial start of it or even drafting maybe like towards the end of a project and almost like understanding that drafting fosters creativity and then feedback fosters more creativity. I think that we were just talking the other day about a graphic I was working on for something in marketing. And I was like, literally I've been working for a half an hour on this one project. And I know what I have so far won't be the end result, but I need to go through this process to like get to wherever I'm headed. You know what I mean?
Because you have to create at least enough to where then the feedback, the conversation can actually be constructive and the feedback that you get is actually like informed and good. So then you can actually go create whatever the thing's going to be. So
starting from like a white canvas or a blank page, there's no like critical feedback yet that you can provide. Mm-hmm. So almost like starting the project gives the opportunity for you to then adjust.
Yeah. And I think, you know, commenting, if I were to jump in and comment and give my thoughts while you're half or three quarters of the way through also doesn't work because I'm not seeing your full initial vision and then able to come in and go, okay, like here's what I see that's missing. And then you can actually go, okay, great. Now, you know, so I love it. Yeah.
I would just like to say, this is my biggest pet peeve ever of Jeff Gargis, is that he comes to me and I'm like halfway done with the project. Like, it's not even close to being done. And he'll be like, hey, I have some feedback. And I'm like, just wait, because probably I'm going to change what you don't like. And I don't need you to say it to me. I can figure it out myself.
I'm going to need examples, because I don't know when I do that, unless it's something that I was tagged on. And that's why I see it, which is your fault for tagging me.
Jeff is a pain in the butt to work with. Oh, wait, that's not number seven. Number seven says, what changes would you like to see in the world?
Oh, gosh. How deep do we want to go here?
I think I'm going to stick with the similar theme of like people being open-minded to accepting differences.
Yes, and I think a big piece of that is people taking the time to do the work to deconstruct their biases and just go and try to learn about other cultures and places and realize that, and I'm talking about the United States, the world we live in, we are told certain things about our country that are not the same as everywhere else. And like, that's, is what it is, but we have the ability now to go and hear from and learn and follow and see people from literally everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think we continue. It's continuing on that, but it's like people, I think that being pushed into our, let's see that pushed into our education more of this exploration of other things.
Yeah.
And so that it doesn't go away when we get older either. I'm not sure how you do that, but.
Friends, we have a lot more questions that we won't be able to dive into as we kind of wrap up our show here, but I do want to read them because we would love to have you consider them as either questions you can pose to your community later into your day, or you can respond in the comments. We love, 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 love reading your thoughts. Question eight says, share a lesson that took an unexpected turn but turned out valuable.
Ooh.
Question nine says, if you could organize a field trip anywhere in the world, where would it be? And question 10 is, how do you build a sense of community among your students? We would love to hear your thoughts to any of the questions 1 through 10. Jeff, we are wrapping up our show, and we will not be back until the new year.
I guess we'll see you next year, right? Yeah.
But we won't be strangers, guys. If you need anything, please reach out to the Teach Better team. Yes. We are always here. If you don't have my cell phone number or Jeff's cell phone number, just like, email us and it, I promise they'll be there. Like, we love to hear from you. We love to support you. So please keep us in mind if there's ever anything that we can do to be better to serve you. So Jeff, I want to wish you and everyone here a happy, happy new year. Any final words or thoughts for our community?
No, just enjoy your winter break and whatever your holiday celebrations are. Take the time to reflect on the year and relax a little bit, hopefully. And have an awesome start of 24. We look forward to being there with you.
Love you guys. See you next year. Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.